In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Palm Sunday is a tough day. Because Palm Sunday, if there's one word that I would use to describe the feeling and the emotion and kind of the vibe that's in the air today, I would say bittersweet. Today's a bittersweet day. Because on the outside, there's a lot of sweet. There's joy, there's celebration. There's you got dressed up, I got dressed up. There's the palms, there's the Hosanna. There's the churches, the most crowded Sunday of the entire year. And that's the way it was, okay, in the original Palm Sunday as well. Most crowded day of the entire year. All the people came out, the good, the bad, the ugly, and everything in between. Everyone came out. They had their palm branches, Hosanna to the King. They took off their shirts and they laid down their garments. They were cutting tree branches to try to wave stuff. Hosanna to the King. This is the one who's going to save us. It was a beautiful, sweet, amazing day on the outside. But maybe on the inside, it wasn't the same way for Jesus. Let's try to ask ourselves what Jesus was going through on the inside. A lot of times when we get to the, especially during Holy Week, the beauty of Holy Week is we read a lot from the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. So I always feel like the New Testament tells us what Jesus was doing on the outside. But the Old Testament, especially the Psalms, helps us understand what Jesus was doing on the inside, what he was feeling, what he was going through. Well, the beautiful thing of Palm Sunday is that Jesus on the outside told us what he was feeling on the inside. He told us. We don't even have to guess. Because he told us as he was coming into the city, he was in the third gospel that was just read to us. It said, now as he drew near, he saw the city and... Ooh, that's an important word. He what? He wept. See, we came here today and we shouted and we rejoiced. And we're like, we're making Jesus proud today. We're making Jesus happy today. And that's what the crowds thought 2,000 years ago. That Jesus is going to be the happiest person in the world. Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna to the King of Israel. You're the king, not those guys. You're our king. But this says, as Jesus drew near, he wept. And then, in fact, after he drew near and wept, he entered the city and he went to the holy place in the city, the temple. And what emotion did we see there? What did he do when he got there? Give a welcome speech? Thank you so much. Yeah, it was the most angry that we've ever seen Jesus. That's when he, the money changers tables. We're going to read it about it tonight for those who come for the evening festival. It's the one part of the movie of Jesus of Nazareth that doesn't fit the rest of the movie or whatever Jesus movie that is that you like. It's that scene because it's like Samaritan woman Jesus, Nicodemus Jesus, adulterous woman Jesus, and then the Jesus doesn't fit. But it does fit exactly what it said, that as he drew near the city, he wept. Why would he weep? Why would he weep? I don't know. I mean, I know, but I don't know. I can imagine what it would be like to go to a party, a celebration in honor of me, where everyone is gathered for me, and I'm the star of the show. And then knowing that as soon as I walk out of the party, everyone's going to stab me in the back. I can imagine for me, I wouldn't go. Like, I would just stay home. Like, why the charade of the thing? You know that game? Okay? We learned that game. Nice to see you. Oh, yeah. And then you wonder, what are they saying after I left? Well, Jesus didn't wonder. He knows. He knows that he was ushered into the city as a king. He's going to leave that same city in a few days as a criminal. Condemned to death. And the same people who said, Hosanna, you are king, they said, you're even lower than a criminal. You deserve to be crucified outside the city in the worst possible way. So that's why I think today, is a day more of pain than for joy for Jesus. I think it's a day of joy on the outside, but I think on the inside, it's a painful day. So then the question becomes, I said to you a minute ago, if it was me, I wouldn't show up at the party. I would just call in sick at the party. Because if at the end result is that's going to be, I'm just not going to show up. Why did Jesus show up? Why did Jesus come? I think two reasons. Jesus came for two reasons. Number one, to give something, and number two, to take something. Came to give and to take. To give and to take. First, he came to give something. What did he come to give? He came to give, yeah, you can insert so many different things in here, but the end result is he came to give us new life in him. He came to give himself up so that we could receive new life. That's what this week is. Okay, those were here at the intro to Holy Week last time. We talked about how this is the week of our salvation. This is the week of life coming from death. This is the week that Jesus is coming to saying, I'm not coming to take anything from you, because see, most kings come to take. I'm coming to give. Tell me another king who comes and says, I'm coming to give. That's the only one. Says, kings don't come to give, they come to take. Jesus is coming to say, I'm just coming to give. I'm coming to give new life. I'm coming to give freedom. I'm coming to give salvation. I'm coming to restore. I'm coming to fix what was broken. All those things that y'all have been crying about for years. I'm coming to give that. I'm coming to give that. That's why we said, yes, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Save us. Hosanna. King, yes. What you're handing out, that's what we want. That's what we need. Thank you for coming. But then as soon as he says, that's what I'm coming to give, he says, there's always a give and a take. So I'm coming to take something as well. We keep saying Jesus is our king. Jesus is our king. What does a king do when he comes into a new land? He has to take something. What does he have to take? For him to truly be the king, what does he take? What's the one word, okay, the land, what's the one word that every Saturday I sit there in confession and I wait and I see people coming to me and say, Father Anthony, the hardest thing is that I can't give up blank. I can't give up blank. I want to be in blank. I want to be in control. A king has to be in control. That's the defining characteristic of a king. What makes someone king is that he's in control. I'm not king over that land if I'm not in control of that land. So here comes the king, coming to give, coming to give, coming to give, but coming to take, and saying, in order to give you what I'm trying to give you, I have to take something. I have to take control. I have to be the one who's the authority. There's only one throne in the kingdom. Only one person can call the shots. Only one person can make the decisions. Hosanna sounds good on the surface until you realize what it truly means underneath. What it means that I'm giving control to somebody else. By saying you're the king, what I'm saying is you're in control. So that what that means, you're in control, for example, of what I now deem good and bad. You decide what's good in my life, and you decide what's not good. I don't decide that anymore, you decide. You decide what's right and what's wrong. Not me anymore. What we usually like to do is say, Hosanna to ourselves, blessed is me, the king of whatever, and Jesus, you're my servant. So Jesus, look, welcome to my life. This is what we do and what we don't do. This is what we touch and what we don't touch. Don't touch this. Don't touch this. You play in this area. You got Sunday mornings from 9-ish, okay, to about 11-ish. You got that time, but I got Fridays. You get Saturday nights most of the time, but I got this. So it's like, welcome, Jesus. We are so happy to have you in our lives. We are so happy. You get to play in this room right here. Find me a king. Find me a king who says, no problem. You can keep the majority of the land. Just give me a little nook or a cranny somewhere. Find me a king. Find me a king who doesn't demand 1,000% obedience. And kings, again, for their own benefit, for their own gain, their own selfish, their own greed, their own lust, their own desires. And like any king, a king uses force to obtain what he wants. Jesus uses force as well. But you know what kind of force he uses? The most powerful force there is. See, most kings got guns or tanks or helicopters, and there's something even more power than that. You know what's more powerful than weapons? Love. And that's what this week is. Jesus is coming, bringing out the big guns and saying, this week, I got weapons that nobody can stand. Nobody can stand these weapons because I got love. I got love. I got love. I remember a couple days ago when we were here in church on Friday, I was sharing a passage that we read on Friday, but we also read it, I think, yesterday morning or yesterday, I don't remember when we read it. We read it at another point. It's from Luke chapter 13. It's also when Jesus wept. When he said, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stone those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you were not willing." You were not willing. How often I wanted to come and give life, salvation, redemption, all those things. How often I wanted to give, but in the end, the one thing that my weapons can't control is your will. My weapons of love can melt anything on this, like nothing. But there's just one thing. There's one thing. It's your will. And he said to these people, "I wanted to give you, but you were not willing." So then the question becomes for each one of us. Here comes the king. Hosanna to the son of Israel. Hosanna to the king of Israel. Hosanna to the son of David. Here he comes. Are you willing or not willing? Are you willing to let him be king or not be king? It's up to you. It's your choice. No one's going to force you. He's going to show love. He's going to shower love. And all this week, we're going to see God's love manifest in a tangible way in front of us. But in the end, each one of us must decide. Are we willing to let him be the king or not? Like I said, king of what I do and what I don't do. King of what's good and what's not good. How about king of timelines? King of timelines. You know the timeline that's in your head where you're like, God is not doing a good job. Well, maybe the king has a different timeline than you have. And maybe the king has a different five-year plan. Are you willing to let God be king over your future, over your plans, over your fears, over your desires? Are you willing to let God be king? Praise is easy. Anyone can come here today and sing Hosanna. Anyone can come here today and say, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." But what Jesus is saying today is, that's not what I'm looking for. That's not why I came. I didn't come for the words. I came for something much greater. And that one thing that's greater, the thing that's greater, here's the ironic thing. The thing that this king is seeking to take, in my opinion, is not that valuable. Because what the king is trying to take, like, I'll give you, forget what I said. A lot of the hymns, okay? You see Jesus here riding on a donkey. Jesus here riding on a donkey. What do we say in the hymns? We say, "He who sits upon the cherubim," okay, "he who sits upon the cherubim came today riding on a colt. What a great humility." You can imagine the king of the universe on a donkey is tremendous humility, which made the angels and the archangels gasp at the thought of the king who sits on the throne. Like, I'm not an animal person. Maybe you're an animal person. Maybe you like donkeys. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know much about them. They seem like they're pretty dumb. It's like the one standard insult in every language is to call somebody a donkey, especially Old English style. It's like, it's what you say about someone that you don't respect, that you want to insult. And that's what Jesus sat on, a donkey. And you look at it and you say, "Jesus, don't sit on a donkey. Invent a car." Like, Jesus, why you sit on a donkey that's smelly and that's dirty and there's probably bugs? Like I'm saying it as joking, but I'm serious. Jesus sitting on a donkey. But I say this with all humility and I say this with all sincerity and I say this with all love. I promise you, when I look at myself, the donkey's cleaner than me. The donkey's cleaner than me. The donkey's cleaner than us. Because that donkey never cursed. Donkey never swore. The donkey never lied. The donkey never took God's name in vain. The donkey never judged another donkey. The donkey never lusted. The donkey never greed. The donkey never did any of those things. And that is what makes us dirty, not the flies. And Jesus came and said, "I'm not just willing to sit on a dirty donkey. I'm willing to sit inside you with your dirt and your filth and my dirt and my filth." Even though we got a long list of dirt and a long list of things. So what I need to say today is, today, God, I repent. I need to say today, God, I repent. You said how often I wanted to gather you. I repent for not being willing. I repent. I am willing. Every one of us needs to say, "I am willing, Lord, to be your donkey. I'm willing that you come into my house and welcome it. I don't got much to offer, okay, but I got a shirt. I'll take the shirt." Like, whatever it is that I got to offer. I'm willing to stop fighting you and give you control. I'm willing for you to be the king. And for those who say, "Give me action, practical action for that." What's that look like? Well, in order for there to be a new life given, we always say, in order for something new, we need to get rid of something old. So what I think we need to do, the church in her wisdom gives us, we need to do a funeral today. Anybody up for a funeral? Even those who are new, somebody said no. Doesn't matter, we're going to have one anyway. Doesn't matter. Okay. This is for those who are kind of new to the Holy Week and Palm Sunday thing. At the end of the service, we're going to finish the liturgy right now. We're going to take communion, and then we're going to take off our festal garments, our festal vestments, and we're going to pray a funeral. And it's often called the general funeral because it means it's prayed over all of us together. Well, the reason why we're praying that funeral, is the church wants us to know from day one is that Jesus is going to die this week and he's going to rise to new life. And if we want to rise to new life, we must first let go of the old one. And this week is supposed to be the week where I am dying to myself. So you know what? My schedule, my diet, my I got to get number of protein, whatever it is, or I got to get work, all that stuff is dead this week. Don't care about the protein intake. Don't care about the work emails. We'll get to it next week. Don't care about, you know, it's inconvenient. Don't care about any of that stuff. This week, I lay down my life. Why? So that I can receive a new life with Jesus. Last thing I want to do. I want to read to you the gospel that was read this morning during Matins. Anyone know what gospel was read this morning during Matins? The story of Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19. So this is leading up to Palm Sunday before the procession into Jerusalem. And I want you to see the story of Zacchaeus. I'm just going to read it real quick here, and you're going to see what I'm trying to say. It's the opposite, the mirror opposite of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. Okay? Jesus' entry into Jerusalem looked one way on the outside, was another way on the inside. Jesus' trip to Zacchaeus was the inverse. Stick with me here. Listen to what it says. It says, first, then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. First of all, what's Jericho? Jericho, the Palm Sunday happened in what city? Jerusalem. What's Jericho and what's Jerusalem? Which one's good, which one's bad? Jerusalem, good. City of the king. Jericho, that's where the enemies were. That's where the bad guys were. So Jericho, down, bad. Jerusalem, up, good. One he's entering here, one he's entering here. Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. So you got this Zacchaeus guy. Here you got the Palm Sunday guys up in Jerusalem, the holy people, the devout people, the righteous people, the people who knew everything about everything. And here you got in the lowly, a guy named Zacchaeus, who was a dirtbag, is basically what it says. He was a dirtbag. He was scum of the earth. I'm just going to read it. And he sought to see who Jesus was. Don't pass by that. He sought to see who Jesus was. He sought to see who Jesus was, but he could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead. He ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. Remember when I said earlier, see how often I wanted to gather your hens, but you were not willing? See the opposite of Zacchaeus? See how opposite? He ran ahead, climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up. I want you to hear these words. He looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. Zacchaeus is all of us there. And he's saying, today, make haste, for today I must stay at your house. Zacchaeus could have said, I'm not willing. Zacchaeus could have said, the door is closed. Zacchaeus could have said, there's already somebody living in this house. Zacchaeus could have said, come back tomorrow. Zacchaeus could have said, not a good time, protein shake, whatever it may be. Zacchaeus could have said anything. But Zacchaeus made haste and came down and received him. Received him how? Joyfully. So Zacchaeus made haste and came down and received him joyfully. You're the king. This is your house. This is your house. You want to come here? You want to come here? Like I said, you want to come here? You're willing to come here? Those other guys were not willing to receive you. Are they crazy? Like, they not willing to receive you? So high and mighty, not willing to... So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Then all the people complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. And then Zacchaeus stood and said, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And then here's the sentence. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house. Today salvation has come to this house because he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which lost. That's what I want all of us to hear today. That's what I want all of us to hear. Insert your name instead of Zacchaeus. Salvation has come to this house. Not because I came to church, not because I carried a palm, not because I said Hosanna, but because I said, I'm willing. Front door open, keys to the house. You make all the decisions. I've been spending my whole life stealing, but you come into the house, I give. Fourfold, double, four, quadruple, whatever. You the king, whatever it is that you say. Hear these words again, and then we're gonna continue the liturgy. Zacchaeus said, look, oh sorry, that's not. And Jesus said, today salvation has come to this house. Because the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Today is the day where God is coming, Jesus entering in, riding on a colt as a king, saying, I'm coming to be the king. Coming to be the king. Coming to be the king. And while everyone rejoiced on the outside, we read earlier, Jesus wept on the inside because he knew that as much as they were chanting on the outside, they were not saying it on the inside. We're going to be the opposite. We're going to be people who's not just saying it on the outside, but saying it on the inside. And we're going to take communion. We're going to be one with Jesus. Then we're going to pray a funeral together. And every single one of us is going to say, that's my funeral. My life ends. I'm starting a new life on Sunday. Saturday night-ish, okay? I'm starting a new life on Saturday night. So this week is all about getting rid of this one. Anything I got in here, I can empty out, empty the pockets, throw that over there, keys over there. I'm throwing a timeline, my agenda, whatever, all throwing all that out. And Jesus, you're the king from here on out. Glory be to God forever. Amen.